Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. It's so good that you're tuning in with us this week. Like always, do me a huge favor, stay connected, get connected by visiting calvarybible.com. Click your campus, find out what's happening in your neck of the woods. So many great things happening here at Calvary, especially as we head towards the spring season. Hopefully things warm up around here and we get into the Easter and Micah 6:8. So many ways in which you can stay connected just by visiting calvarybible.com. Thanks so much. Today we have a great show for you. John Boyle is in the studio. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, it's so good to sit down with you. It's been a while.
You've made some changes.
We have made some changes. We actually now sit in normal chairs.
Nice.
With a coffee table, with a fake mug.
It's good.
With some greenery.
Great.
For those who have never watched us on YouTube, we now have quite the production for the value of our audience to stay engaged in this conversation.
That's great.
Because I have a face for radio.
And why are you putting it on YouTube then?
Because that is how podcasts are listened to these days.
Interesting. Yeah. I prefer the audio.
Do you?
Of a podcast.
Yeah, you're a man who has to do a commute between here and there.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you enjoy some audio podcasts.
Yes.
All right. So it was your birthday this week. Happy birthday.
Oh, Jay, that's nice of you. I'm glad you invited all these friends to my birthday party. That was thoughtful.
I was not invited to your birthday party this year, but I remember a great birthday party you had when you turned 40.
To be clear, there was no birthday party this year.
That's good.
There was working, which was quite a celebration.
Quite a celebration, yeah. Yes. Yeah. What do you enjoy most about being in your mid-40s now?
Well, thank you for asking about my age.
I did not ask about your age.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of things I enjoy. I don't know that it's any different based on how old I am.
All right.
Do you find it different in your young 40s?
You know, my body is not recovering as fast as it used to.
Yeah, see, that's a mental problem, like a decision you're making to old.
Literally are... Joints are hurting sometimes after activities.
Oh, that means you need to work out more and stretch.
I don't have as good a gene pool, I guess, as you, maybe. No. Oh, gosh. That's where that conversation went. That was quick. So let's talk about what are you excited about in this season here at Calvary?
I love that we're studying 1 Corinthians. I think it's super helpful for us. Of course, Easter is coming.
Yep.
So that's always something to look forward to. I think there's as we move into the spring, as you were saying, lots of ways for people to engage. And I love seeing new people who are around at church. I know we've got some chances for folks to come connect at Starting Point. I always love meeting people who are new, and it's been fun for me the last several weeks to get to meet several new people who are around the church. That's always exciting.
Yeah.
And to hear about the great events that are coming up in the life of our church family.
That's really cool. How have you enjoyed your winter? Skiing much?
Yes, I have been skiing. It's been a little cold, though.
Yeah.
And I have not enjoyed that as much. I prefer it when it's warm down here and a lot of snow in the mountains.
Right.
But I have not yet skied this month, which is disappointing because the snow is great. I'm hopeful that I can get up there soon.
Yeah. Good, good, good.
How about you? Have you been skiing?
You know, I haven't skied much this year. We made a commitment to sort of be around for some winter sports that happen on Saturdays.
Mm.
Sort of have taken over the weekend sort of commitments there. But we knew that was the season.
Yeah, that's a poor choice.
Yeah. Mm. All of us are regretting it at
yes.
home, actually.
Right.
So that will be the last year we do it.
Good.
So,
good job.
But we had to explore that option. And the kids understand it now.
Good.
Why we had always said no.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. So you're in 1 Corinthians 11. As you're preparing for this message, what's sticking out to you? What's sort of resonating in your heart throughout the whole book of 1 Corinthians?
Well, I think in a lot of ways it's the series title that we have, which is Undivided. You know, Paul's heart is to help this new community that he's helping to establish in Corinth remain united together, which is really hard because they're coming from different backgrounds and different experiences, and they're living in a culture that experiences division around a lot of different areas, just like our culture does today. And I think over and over again, you just see these big issues that are creeping up in the church. You know, this week it was an issue around how they were gathering for worship during the communion celebration. You know, we're in this sort of section where he's trying to help them remain united in the gathered worship experience. But there's been lots of other external issues that have been causing problems, you know, similar to today. You know, there's issues and questions around sexuality. There's issues and questions around just sort of the social status that exists in Corinth and how they handle themselves. There's cultural pressures that exist in the city that are kind of influencing the way they're acting inside the church. Yeah. And Paul's trying to help them establish, this is how, as followers of Jesus, we're going to be distinct and we're going to remain undivided.
Right. I think that's a really interesting insight this year, especially in the season that we are living in.
Yeah.
And politically, socially, in America right now, and how important the Spirit's prompting of our leaders to maybe name it this and then go through the book of 1 Corinthians in this season. How important is unity here at Calvary?
Well, I mean, Jesus prayed in, you know, his high priestly prayer in the upper room the night that communion was instituted. His prayer to the Lord was that his followers throughout history would be one and united. The world has always been divided. I know it feels especially kind of divided in our country today. That's not new.
Right.
It's a different kind of division, and I think there are different kinds of division that have existed in cultures throughout history.
Right.
And I think that's where the church is meant to be distinct, you know? The purpose of 1 Corinthians and Paul's letter to them is to a church in a specific context. And the prayer that Jesus prayed, Father, you know, I want my followers to be united, to be one, to have unity, and our heart's desire at Calvary that we would be united. You know, that prayer is specifically for believers,
right,
in the context of the body of Christ. Not that we don't pray for unity and peace in the world, but, you know, what I think what we're really focused on is what Jesus' heart is that his followers would not be divided over cultural issues, which will always exist until the Lord Jesus returns, and then all of humanity is united under his leadership.
Yeah, that's a really good
and
word.
And peace will actually reign then,
right?
You know?
Yeah, true peace will be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. I really appreciate that. Now, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 11, and it's actually a very unique chapter because in some of our Bibles, some of the letters are red and some are not.
Yeah.
And after you get past the Gospels, it's very seldom does that happen within our Bibles. Explain sort of why Paul in the Lord's Supper actually tells us what Jesus said.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of a question as to, you know, Paul says, I delivered to you what I received from the Lord. And there is a question, like Paul received direct revelation from Jesus on the road to Damascus when Jesus revealed himself to Paul in a very unique way. We don't know everything that Jesus revealed to him in those moments. And we don't know how extensive that revelation was.
Yes.
It's possible that the Lord Jesus in that experience and encounter explained this to Paul and said to him, this is what I instituted on the night I was betrayed. And perhaps that was a way that helped Paul come to faith in Jesus. We don't know.
Right.
It's also possible that what Paul is saying is that he has heard from the other apostles who were present, many of them, in the room when Jesus instituted communion, that this is what Jesus said. Right. And in both cases, we can trust that this is from the Lord.
Yeah.
And that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, blessed God, and said, "This is my body, which is for you." And after dinner, took the cup, blessed it, gave thanks, and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin."
Right.
And, you know, there's consistency between this account of the Lord's Supper and, you know, the last meal with his disciples and what's in the gospel accounts as well.
That's a really important highlight for the believer, is to understand that they are synonymous with each other and in sync with what transpired within the four accounts. Yeah, I really like that a lot, John. I really resonate with that. I think it's really interesting that my time at Calvary, when we do communion once a month, we read from this text more often than the other gospel accounts of communion. Why do you think that is?
I think it's such a succinct and helpful description of what happened. As you said, it's very consistent with the gospel accounts. And I think maybe some of it is just the uniqueness of Paul's description of what happens during communion in verse 26, when he says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." That's just a helpful reminder for us as we celebrate communion together about what we're actually doing when we gather around the Lord's table. So,
It's one of my, and the podcast knows this, if you've been a longtime listener, you know this if you've been a longtime friend of Jay, one of my favorite things, all-time favorite things we do here at Calvary is membership class. And I have the privilege most often to teach through communion in membership class.
Nice.
And the statements we make in membership class, which I encourage everyone who attends Calvary, who's one of our partners in the gospel, to invest in becoming a member here at Calvary. That's a sales pitch. Mm. It's actually coming up this spring.
There you go.
So you can go to calvarybible.com/membership and sign up today. But I think the teaching at 1 Corinthians 11 here, how we view member communion here at Calvary, how we communicate with members about it, I think is beautiful. Mm. And we mine this passage quite a bit within our own theological work of how communion should be played out.
And tell me what you share during that.
Well,
class.
We talk about proclaim. We use that word a lot. I think it's really important. It's one of those words that really excites me when I take communion, that we as unified Calvary individuals come together to proclaim on a monthly basis the death of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it's a witness to the world. It has been in all of church history.
Yeah.
It's been a unique witness to the world. It's very distinctly Christian practice. And I think that's one of those things that resonates. We'll talk about some others. I think examine, and I want to talk about that in detail a little bit, is another word we talk about there that is, I just find really meaningful in my own faith as we settle in the first of the month, historically, to take communion.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you wear your Calvary shirt when you lead membership class?
Not all the time.
You probably should.
I probably should.
I think that would be a good addition.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Duly noted.
Okay.
From the executive pastor.
Great.
Here's the thing. We have the privilege of sort of touch and base in between services while you preach, and then sort of right after, I get fresh conversations from you, you know, raw conversations, especially going from service to service, preach to preach. You mentioned something that I thought was very striking that you left behind in your sermon. You were talking about how in your study, you really found yourself drawn to this idea and the connection of the Lord's Supper to the Passover.
Yeah.
Explain in detail what was going on and what was really unique in this preach.
Yeah, so it's I think it's fascinating that the issue that Paul's addressing is this problem of sort of status segregation that's happening in the midst of a religious feast.
Yes.
Which was regularly happening in Jewish culture.
Right.
You know, the Jewish calendar is built around a variety of feasts and celebrations. The most important is the Passover celebration. And that is the context in which Jesus inaugurates the Lord's Supper. Right. Is the time when he goes to Calvary to die on the cross is during the Passover. And of course, the Passover is the moment when God released his people from bondage in Egypt after, they had been enslaved there for 430 years.
Yeah.
And there had been a series of plagues that God had brought to Egypt to help demonstrate his power over Pharaoh and to demonstrate his sovereignty and to demonstrate that he would rescue and redeem his people. And so the Passover was the night when Exodus tells us that the angel of God came into Egypt and God instructed his people through Moses that they would sacrifice a spotless lamb and they would take the blood of that lamb and paint it, you know, on the doorposts of their house. And God's angel would pass over any door, any home that had the Lamb of God on its doorposts. And everywhere else, the firstborn member of that family would die. And Pharaoh was told this would happen and encouraged to release the people of God from captivity, and he refused. And after this experience, Pharaoh released God's people. They left bondage in Egypt and started their journey to the Promised Land. And after that, they instituted a yearly feast called the Passover.
The Lord instituted it.
Thank you very much. Yes, the Lord instituted it. And part of that celebration was to remember that they had, you know, been instructed to not let their bread rise because there wasn't going to be time and they needed to be ready to go when the Lord said it's time to leave. And so bread was an important part of this meal, as well as remembrance of what had happened and the experience of being enslaved in Egypt for more than 400 years. And, you know, a cup, wine was an important part. And Jesus stands in the middle of this Passover meal with his disciples, where there was, you're better at church history than me, but like 1500 years almost of history since the Passover had happened till the moment that Jesus is there. And he basically inserts himself into the Passover celebration and declares himself to be the Passover lamb that has come. And, you know, part of the Passover was looking to the future promised Messiah. And here Jesus stands and interrupts this ceremony where the head of the house would have stood up and broken bread and blessed God and said something. And Jesus in that moment says, "This is my body, which is for you," which is an absolutely amazing statement to make in the context of a 1500 year tradition to insert yourself into the middle of that and say, you know, basically the whole purpose of this was to point to me and here we are. And now I will go and make the, you know, I will be the covering for you, the spotless lamb that will die and you will be forgiven and you will be redeemed if you believe in me.
Yeah, the propitiation, that big famous word.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. He also takes a cup, says, "This is blood of my covenant," which is a beautiful thing of, we don't need a spotless lamb anymore.
Right.
We have his blood, which he gave to us.
Yeah.
Which is just incredible to see. Yeah, I think, what's the correlation then for the believer as we sit down, say, early March this year? I think it's March 2nd. and take the Lord's Supper together here at Calvary, Lord willing.
Mm-hmm.
We will all be together then.
Yeah.
What should we be thinking about?
Well, most of all, we should be thinking about Jesus. And as he says, do this in remembrance of me. And so we should remember what Jesus has done for us that we could never do.
Yeah.
And I think we should remember that he says, this is my body. In our English translation, which, you know, English lacks a good plural pronoun for you, mm-hmm. unless you're from certain parts of the country where you might say something like
y'all.
There you go. Some of us
all
don't.
Y'all.
Yeah, we wouldn't say that. But essentially, you know, he says, this is my body, which is for y'all, mm-hmm. you know, all of you. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And I think we should remember that the death of Jesus is not just for us individually, but it's for our brothers and sisters in Christ as well.
Yeah.
You know, for all who have called on the name of Jesus for salvation. That's who communion is for. And
tying us back to that unity piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's really cool. What about this word of new covenant? For those who may be new to faith, mm-hmm. that's a really old word. You know, he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Why is that important for us to understand?
Yeah, well, big picture, tying back to Passover, you know, there was the Mosaic covenant where there was a series of sacrifices that would happen and priests who would atone for the sins of people in the temple in Jerusalem and, you know, prior to the temple in the, you know, sort of traveling tabernacle. And there was a series of the sacrificial system that had to happen in order to atone for the sins of people. And, you know, as we learned in our study of Hebrews a couple years ago, the death of Christ was the once for all sufficient sacrifice that never has to happen again.
Right.
You know, Jesus died once and that was all it took because he is the perfect sinless Son of God. And so his death is unlike any other death that could ever happen. And so this is the new covenant. And, you know, God promised in the Old Testament in Jeremiah that he would bring a new covenant to his people and he would give them new hearts and they would believe in him. And all of this is accomplished through the death of Jesus. And so he's inaugurating this new covenant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's some people when they come to visit one of our campuses for the first time and maybe they come from a different background of faith, they'll walk into our worship center and they'll ask, where is the altar? Mm-hmm. I'm like, we don't have an altar at Calvary because we don't need to have sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Like that happened when Jesus died.
Right.
And now if we would have anything, it would be like a table, mm-hmm. you know, that would demonstrate the sacrifices occurred. We come around the table as a unified body to remember the sacrifice, which inaugurated this new covenant in which we live.
That's really good. Well, okay, let's talk about sort of this idea in which Paul is trying to get to the Corinthians because of their sort of ill use of this practice of the Lord's Supper, mm-hmm. sort of the distinction between rich and poor,
yeah,
those who have and those who have not. And he says in verse 28, and this is in our membership as well, it says, let a person examine himself then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup.
Yeah.
What is that process for you on a personal level of examination as we prepare for communion coming up in a few weeks?
Yeah, I think this is where we, you know, ask the Lord to search our heart, mm-hmm. you know. We talked a couple weeks ago about the idea of confession. You know, we're called to confess our sins. And confession just basically means like lining our heart up with God's understanding of our heart. Like God knows us. He knows everything right. about us. We don't have to tell him about the ways that we have fallen short or have sinned. He knows it. And we're just essentially telling God what he already knows about us. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. But I think there's a personal examination based on what we know and understand about how God calls us to live our life in obedience to him, where we say, okay, Lord, how am I doing in my own personal life? Is there anything I need to bring before you that I need to ask for your forgiveness before I receive this? Because what we don't want to do is we don't want to presume that we can just roll into the Lord's table as the Corinthians were doing.
Right.
You know, they're having these segregated parties,
right,
not thinking about other people, right, thinking about their own needs primarily, and then sort of presuming upon the Lord's Supper, mm-hmm, which is not at all the sort of heart position that we want to have when we come to the table. We want to come in humility, asking the Lord for forgiveness, and thinking about, is there any way that I need to seek forgiveness from a brother or sister that's going to be at the table with me? Anything I need to bring before the Lord?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned this in your sermon, and I think one of the sermons, I didn't hear it in another, I don't think, but you said, you're probably glad that we actually didn't take communion this Sunday, because even after we talked about the Lord's Supper, because it was sort of anticipation for maybe us getting our hearts really right for the next time we take communion.
Yeah.
Talk about how we should each month sort of step into the first of the month. I know that if you're a believer at Calvary, that coming to church is a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to church often is a very good thing.
Yeah.
Staying consistent at church is really important for your spiritual growth.
Yeah.
That's not a professional saying that. That's just a really practical step as a believer.
Yeah.
How should we think about each first Sunday of the month, as we know that we will probably be engaging in communion,
yeah,
at Calvary?
Well, I think that's probably a really good first step, is we should be thoughtful about the fact that communion is coming. That reminds me of a dear member of Calvary for a number of years named Asterisk, who went to be with the Lord a few years ago. And she was a longtime member here. By the time I started attending Calvary, she was a little bit older, single for her entire life, and the church was her family. Mm-hmm. And she would call the church office and inquire about whether or not we were having communion on the first Sunday of the month on a monthly basis. And it was because, you know, there might be occasional times when perhaps communion gets shifted for a reason, or maybe, right, there's a calendar thing. And she would call and ask because she wanted to make sure that she was ready to take the Lord's Supper. And so she was very intentional about it.
Right.
And I just thought that there were so many things about Asterisk that I admired and I learned from her. And I loved that example that she set, was that she would quietly, on her own, prepare herself to take communion because she knew it was important. Yeah. And I think that's a really good first step, that we're thoughtful about, oh, communion's coming up. And, you know, I think what's helpful about it being on a regular rhythm is then these patterns hopefully become even more regular for, right, us, not just monthly that we would examine ourselves, but I think the Lord calls us to, you know, examine ourselves constantly and just seek his face and learn from him and see how we're doing. And when we find ourselves, you know, maybe a little drifting off of obedience, we just course correct and come back and ask for his help to return. Yeah. So I think that rhythm of reflection and preparation before coming to communion is a really good one.
Cool, John. I really appreciate this conversation today. Thanks for sitting down with me.
Thank you for having these very comfortable chairs that we could sit together in.
Yeah. Calvary, I want to leave you with this. This comes out of Psalm 51, and it's a really maybe important psalm for today, especially the cold weather, as we see snow in this season on the ground. It says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Calvary, we hope that this week is a meaningful week, which you realize that Jesus' work literally paid it all on your behalf. And that as we prepare our hearts in the next coming weeks to take communion unified as the people of Calvary, but more importantly, unified under the head of Jesus Christ himself, his church, that you know that your identity is whiter than snow and that he has been sufficient for all your needs. Have a great week. Looking forward to talking to you later. Let us know. Questions below in the YouTube videos are always helpful. We're here to answer them. But beyond that, know that we love you, we're praying for you, and we will see you very soon.